Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. The Astoria Public Library and library renovation is the topic of our program today. A library is a vital, vibrant heart of a community, and we have some really exciting updates we're going to be hearing today about what's happening with the Astoria Library. In the studio, I have David Oser. David is president of the Astoria Library Advisory Board. Welcome, David.
Thank you very much, Donna.
We also have Gregory Lumbra. Gregory is a board member. Hi, Greg.
Glad to be here, Donna.
Glad to have you here. And also in the studio is Jane Tucker. She is the director of the Astoria Public Library. Hi, Jane.
Hi. Good to be here.
And before we begin talking about libraries in today's world, and our library in particular here in Astoria, let's find out a little bit about each of you. David Oser, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
I've only been a resident of Astoria for the last 3 years, but I really have come to love this city. I've been on the board since very shortly after I got here. I've been involved in libraries, in library governance, where I used to live outside of Chicago, and have my wife is a librarian, so I really know a lot about them. My day job, I'm the chief financial officer of Craft 3. We are a nonprofit lender, mainly to small businesses throughout Oregon and Washington.
Good. I was going to ask you, why did you move to Astoria from Chicago? But it sounds like perhaps it had something to do with Craft 3.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. And see, and you know, people are welcomed in this community because when they become engaged, there are so many worthwhile nonprofits and community organizations which need help. So good on you for getting involved the minute you kind of landed here. And Gregory Lumbra, please tell us about yourself.
This is Greg Lumbra, and I've been in the Clatsop County area for approximately 32 years, moved here from the Midwest, kind of like Chairman Oser. And I'm retired from the Georgia Pacific Mill. I was involved in construction for 10 to 15 years prior to that. And libraries have been a lifelong passion of mine. And I started going to the library when I was about 2 and a half and been going regularly ever since. And I've been on the board for 3 or 4 years here in Astoria. And we've done some amazing things, and those are some of the things we're going to be talking about today.
Excellent. And Jane, for those listeners who may not be familiar with you?
I'm in my 14th year as the director of this library, but I did start my career when I was 15 on the bookmobile in my hometown. So I've been in libraries my whole life, and it's just one of the most wonderful careers a person could ever have. It's just fabulous. Every day I see people engaging in literacy and learning and using the resources of our library, and some are playing chess, and some are meeting there, and all sorts of things are going on there, and it's just a fabulous environment in which to live and work as a library.
You are in the idea business. Ideas, ideas, yeah. Ideas. Oh. Yes, if there was ever a giant storm, I just, you know, would love to be locked in a library somewhere. It's like, can't come out, but we've got lots of books. Okay, where are we with the library today? First, I think we should take a look back and talk about when was the Astoria Library first founded? I mean, it's under the city, under the auspices of the city of Astoria, which makes it a unique, well, not unique necessarily, but it's not a district. Do you want to mention, like, how the library is actually operated?
Yes. As you say, the library is part of the city of Astoria. It's structurally, it's the same as the police department and the fire department. Jane Tucker, the director, is an employee of the city and reports to the city. We, the board of the library, is not a governing board. We are an advisory board. We are a kind of conduit between the council and the people of the city, and we also function as a kind of kitchen cabinet for the library director. Yeah.
Okay, it's important to know how the library functions then.
Yep.
And so the building where the library currently resides was built in 1965. And you can see the structure has these skinny, tall windows, kind of little panel things, it looks like. So how has the library been functioning there since 1965?
It was designed at the time with the ideas of a modern 1960s library, but it has, and the, programmatically the staff have done everything they can to modernize it, but it really no longer serves the kinds of multifarious purposes that a library in the 21st century is expected to serve and is desired by the people of Astoria to serve. In addition, the physical structure itself, the systems are obsolescent at best, and the life of the building, it's really come to the end of its useful life.
So the Astoria Library has been functioning under the auspices of the City of Astoria for how long?
Since about 1913, but in reality it is the oldest, the second oldest library in the state of Oregon. The first oldest is Multnomah County. So you can trace it all the way back into the 1800s here in Astoria. But it became an it became under the city, it went under the city, I believe, in 1913.
Okay. Okay. And it's had its useful functions. It continues to function for some of the community, although there are parts of the community which are not able to use the library in a way in which modern libraries today are evolving. So when did this process start where you said, okay, our library building just isn't allowing us to do what we need to do to become a modern library for today's times?
This has really been ongoing for several years. There was a strategic plan about 5 years ago that identified various needs of the library, and most of those objectives programmatically were achieved, but obviously structurally takes longer. So the early this year, we determined to hire a very well-known and expert library consultant to really take a survey, take the pulse of the city of Astoria, to view the needs that people wanted, and also to look at the building to see what, to look at it structurally, to look at it at its systems, and really put together a full plan that is called a needs assessment and cost estimate, and is really the first step in the overall process. The study then can be given to an architect or architectural firm as the basis for the next steps for the actual building and renovation of the facility.
I remember, and I actually attended at the Liberty Theater. You've had some community meetings, and essentially with the consultant whom you hired, was it a year ago or something? Or?
Last June.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
And then the consultant wanted to hear from users, from citizens, and the library, of course, is for not only residents but also for visitors. I mean, so you wanted to get feedback from the community. What did you hear back from the community about how they would like to see the library evolve and change?
Well, we ended up getting a little bit over 800 direct responses, surveys, face-to-face, interviews with people, and these resulted in 5 recommendations that were distilled from all of these 800 responses, and David has these, I hope, right here.
Right. We had, as Greg said, a number of responses, what people wanted.
Community wanted.
Yeah, what the community of Astoria wanted. Lifelong learning opportunities for all ages, places for children and families to engage in activities that develop the language and literary skills of young children so they can be ready for schools. And this is something that the library was not even in anyone's mind when the library was constructed in 1965. Positive options for teens that will spark and nurture their self-development, creativity, and self-esteem. Most libraries today have separate teen rooms that are separate environments for them, and we have nothing of that sort. Beauty, light, spaces, and activities that help residents counter the negative side of the prevailing climate. I think anybody who's listening and driving or looking outside their windows can see the benefit of having a lot of light in our climate. And spaces and activities that bring people together to help break their isolation. Libraries are meeting places for entire communities. They are not just, they're not museums of books. They're places where people get together for all sorts of activities and programs, for learning, for human contact, a third space that's free and open to the entire population.
Yes, we were talking before we went on the air that a library that I enjoyed a lot was in San Miguel de Allende, a historic Mexican town, and they had a cafe with music. They had beautiful bulletin boards and interactive spaces, and it was the place where you went to find out what was happening in the community. And you could also check out the periodicals and the books. It was fabulous. And I think we all want to see a community center, a library that's in the heart of Astoria, and its location is a very important thing because it's just two blocks from Commercial, or a block.
That's right. Part of the renovation of the library in its current location is going to be really bringing downtown one block farther south. Of course, as everyone knows, the City Hall has been renovated. The Garden of Surging Waves is going to be opening soon. But the renovation of the library will be part of that whole process. Right now, across the street, there are various empty storefronts. We really see a library as an economic driver of a community as well as a social place. So we think that this will really be energizing for the entire downtown area.
So economic development, as the library is renovated and it becomes a more vibrant, usable, larger space, then it will bring people to that area. And so there may be new stores opening. There will be more economic development, just that one block making a difference there. And in terms of timeline, I think we talked about the fact that right now you had City Council approval for the consultant's plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the next kind of steps will be...
Yes, City Council, the Library Board has been, of course, involved with the consultant very heavily throughout her and her associates' work. As you said, we had a number of public meetings both at the library and at the Liberty Theater. We had booths at the Sunday Market, and the survey was available for several months online and at the library physically. So we got a lot of input. The Library Advisory Board accepted the study late last year, and on January 6th, we had a one-hour work session before the regular council meeting, and it was there were a number of questions, but every member of the council was very enthusiastic about the plan, and at the regular meeting that followed right afterwards, the plan was unanimously accepted as the direction that the library and the city wanted to go in.
Good. And in the second half of the program, we'll be talking about more details about that plan and also how the library is funded. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today, we're talking about the Astoria Library renovation, the plans for bringing this important facility into the modern day world. And so my guests are David Oser. He is the president of the Astoria Library Advisory Board, Gregory Lumbra. He is a board member, and Jane Tucker. She is the director of the Astoria Public Library. Before we talk about some of the recommendations and the exciting ideas for this renovation and how the public can be involved and do volunteer work or whatever, let's talk a little bit about how the library currently is funded. So, because I know that you have an Astor Library Friends Association, and by the way, is it Astoria Library? Is it Astor Library? Can we clarify that?
It's the Astoria Public Library in the Astor Building.
That's okay.
The official word for it. The ALFA is the Astor Library Friends Association, and they have been a fundraising arm. They grew out of the group that were the capital campaigners for the current building we're in. And they didn't want to disband at the time, so they became the Friends Association. So they pay for the magazines, they help us with special collections, they help with programs, they pay for a lot of summer reading, so they're very important to the community, and they do that. We're also looking at, and David is looking at it as president of the board, at the creation of a foundation that would assist the library. So
at this moment in time, let's say if someone is listening and they say, I want to be involved with this library project, I'm excited, I love libraries, and just as you did when you moved here, you jumped right in, they can get information at the library about becoming part of the Astor Library Friends Association, which is a 501c3.
Right.
It's a nonprofit. They organize book sales and programs and provide magazines. So that's a way to be engaged. There's also a website, astorialibrary.org.
Right, people and can we visit. Have a renovation page on the website.
There's a renovation page on the website. Excellent. And so let's talk now about one of the ideas then that came out of this consultant's work and this nice, thick kind of report that I see you have in your hands was the establishment of a foundation.
And let me just say before that at this moment, what I think people can do who really want to get involved is to go on the website under the renovation tab and take a look through the study. Mm-hmm. It's very it's long, but really there's an executive summary, and it's very interesting, and it really does give a vision, the vision of the people of Astoria for what they want.
And there are two paper copies as well at the library. So if you don't have the ability to see it electronically, you can come in and read it in paper.
The Friends provide some funding, but they are not the kind of funding vehicle that we will really need to provide the several million dollars that will be required over the next few years to do this full renovation. So we are looking at the creation of a foundation or some similar type of vehicle to raise funds, to raise awareness, both locally and in the philanthropic community. And we also intend to put together very soon a communications plan. We're really at the start of this project. One of our board members, Susan Brooks, keeps saying, you know, we got to do this step by step by step, right? You know, right now we're on about step two.
Yeah.
We're moving forward.
Right. So first was realizing the library isn't serving the needs of the community. We need to expand. We need to change it. We need a renovation. Second, you hired the consultant, and they did a needs assessment, and that's this. Now you're looking at, okay, here are things we need to do, and one of the first things is to establish a foundation.
And I would really want to urge people, we certainly, and obviously, funds will be important, but as we reach out beyond the city of Astoria itself to the philanthropic community and to others who can support us, the support of the community through all sorts of ways, not just financially, but in becoming involved in one way or another, helping us to talk with different organizations and groups that people are involved in, all of this, to be able to truly demonstrate the support of the community will be vital.
Absolutely. And the city of Astoria is also will be supporting not only just, obviously with their the city council approval of the report, but they also will contribute financially.
Well, we are putting together our total fundraising plan. In a project of this size, there's a substantial plan that is written. And we are really at the early stages of that. So
we don't even know what this building's going to look like. Now, the only thing I've heard, I would like to, we'll look at some myths here, but is that the library will be expanding from 10,000 to 18,000 feet. Mm-hmm. The Waldorf building, which is next door, the old Waldorf, will be... Well, you tell me what are we looking at?
You're right. We do not have architectural drawings per se, so we don't know. We can't say it's going to have 12 big windows or whatever.
Sure.
But the best plan is to expand laterally. It's much easier to have the staff work efficiently and for people to be able to use the library, to have most of it on one floor. So we hope that the city will be able to acquire and open up the space currently occupied by the essentially derelict building that currently occupies it. This is one of the things that the city will be looking at in the immediate future.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's excellent. And also, you're going to be looking for ideas from community members about, maybe how they do want things to look. And what they've said, again, you read those 5 points, they've said that they want it to be a community center, And there will be opportunities for people to use modern technology. I mean, what excites you the most about these? I mean, all three of you, what excites you the most about this project? And what would you like the listening audience to know? I mean, I'm thrilled about it. I can't wait. And I think it's great to be involved on the ground floor.
I guess what I would say is this. I have lived in communities where it is not an exaggeration at all to say that people loved the library. And we have a library that some people love, but it's hard to love it. It's, it's just physically, it's a hard place to love.
It's brutal.
Okay, so creating a library everyone loves, yes.
And to be able to really serve the whole community. I mean, right now, today, this is going to sound awful, but it's true. If you are in some way physically disabled, you cannot browse the fiction stacks.
We're not ADA compliant.
The fiction stacks are up in the mezzanine. There's a fairly steep stairway is the only way to get there. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing that the staff or anyone else can do about it. With the best will in the world, if you can't climb those stairs, you can't browse the fiction collection. And that's really terrible. The same with for children. I mean, as the space for children right now is tiny and inadequate. There's no space for teens. And there's no space. The library is not divided acoustically, where there are places for people to have conversations in one part, to have quiet study in another part, to have tutoring in a third part, to have a meeting of a local organization at no cost in another part. All of these things are part of our vision.
And Seaside, listen to its citizens just as you all are doing or have done and will continue to do as this project unfolds. And now Seaside has an incredible library, which people, they love it.
They do.
And how can the public get involved at this point? What can people do?
I think they can. They really at the moment it's stay tuned. It's look at the information we have and stay tuned. The public has been involved in this process from the beginning. We're at very early stages. We will be reaching out to the public continually as this moves forward.
And I'd say use the library. Get your library card. Go down. Become a part of the Astor Library Friends Association. I mean, there are ways to do that. And I guess I also want to talk a little bit about the fact that people sometimes think libraries are going away. However, and in some places that's probably true, not here.
And the only reason that libraries are going away in some places is that places do not have the budgets to support them. The demand for libraries is continually growing because libraries provide a whole host of services for reading physical books to electronic books to music to connections to the web to social places. There's a whole host of things that libraries uniquely in communities can provide. So yes, in some places hours are cut back, in some places branches are closed, but it's not in accord.
It's not because they're not relevant. It's because of the funding. And I think that what's wonderful is that because, as we know, we have in this Columbia Pacific region people who are really engaged, people who are passionate. I mean, our mayor, Willis Van Dusen, is always talking about that. And that's why these things happen. And that's why this little town of 10,000 has all these incredible museums and the liberty and cultural things happening here. So the library, in my opinion, really can be and should be the heart of the community. So, and having it open and have more hours. And the fact that, Jane, you've done so much work looking at, you all went on field trips, you looked at many, many other libraries about who have made the evolution, the change, the transition. What are you the most excited about, Jane, from those trips?
Well, we looked at large, small, urban, rural. We looked at a wide range of libraries. And one of the things that excites me the most is that nationwide and in Astoria, people want to be in the building. That's what they want. They want to be in the building, so they want accommodations in the building. And as I looked at all those libraries and visited them, I realized that the main question that was in my head as I stood on the steps to go in was, where is my chair? Is my chair in there? Mm-hmm. So the libraries that resonated the most with me were the ones where 80% of the spaces and the furniture and the layout invited me to sit and stay. And there were some that not so much invited me to sit and stay. But in this library, the building program calls for us to go to 101 chairs. And there are times when we'll look out there and we see that people are sitting in these awful old chairs. They are from 1965. That's why you don't like them. And they're out there. And, you know, so it's a good thing. This is a wonderful opportunity for this city. And, you know, these opportunities don't come along very often.
No, this is a rare moment when you can be engaged in this ground floor of the Astoria Library renovation. And we just have a few minutes left. David, what else would you like the listening audience to know now about the Astoria Public Library renovation?
That this is something that we are responding to the city's needs. This is something that is going to be beneficial for the entire community and is something that we think will really be a wonderful, wonderful addition to our community.
That's great. And that there are ways to engage. And again, come into the library, get your library card, join the friends, and make your voice heard too. Anything that you would like to say, Greg?
Basically, where we're at right now is we have a plan that we've worked on very hard that has come out of citizen involvement. This is a plan that is not the reflection of a consultant or the library board or the director. This plan is directly from the citizens of Astoria, and that's what this library is all about. With a renovation, hopefully the library will become a cultural catalyst for the entire community. And it's something that I and a whole lot of people in the community feel very passionate about, and we look forward to great changes coming.
Well, I love cultural catalysts. That's great. I hadn't heard that before. Did you just coin that phrase?
Well, I did.
And there are ways you can be involved. I'm sure whether it's helping move books, there are going to be all kinds of ways that the public can be involved. And Jane, what else would you like people to know before we end the program?
About the renovation, that this is such a rare opportunity, and I know that you use those words rare, but it's a rare opportunity to get to do this for your community. So I'm most excited that the timing is that it comes now and we're the group that gets to do this. We do plan ways for everyone to be involved in this renovation. So as David said, stay tuned to what we're doing, and there'll be a way for you to be a part of it.
Yes, absolutely, for all of us. Thank you so much, all three of you, for your passion, your dedication. I can't say enough about how excited I am, because a library was where I spent a lot of my childhood. And I really look forward to being part of this new world, and having the Astoria Public Library meet the needs of the citizens, not only people who live here, but also people who come into our town and see what we have been able to create here with all of your help. Thank you so much. Yeah. And thank you, Terry Wilson. Oh, he had a quick question about a bookmobile. Do we still do any of those?
There are still bookmobiles, and they vary quite a bit. There are specialized bookmobiles now. There's an early childhood literacy bookmobile. There are tech bookmobiles that bring computers out to rural communities. So they're still alive and well, and very much appreciated where they are.
Be involved with our public library. Yes. Thank you, Terry Wilson, our engineer extraordinaire. And I also want to express my appreciation to local talented banjo instructor Michael Brun for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the good things in your life, focus on the things that are working in your life. Focus on feeling good, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now. Now, the only moment which exists, this moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.